Dawn Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
This is not a normal Monday. This is October 7th. And the grief, the vigils, and yes, the rallies, those who are anti-Israel, they say they're pro-Hamas. We'll get into all of it today. But it certainly is appropriate to think about what is really going on. We have hostages, four Americans being held hostages for 1 year. As we think about what happened 1 year ago today during what can only be called a terrorist attack on innocent civilians. A year later, 64 people, including two children, are still being held against their will, still in captivity. And Israel believes the 64 people are still alive. For the Palestinian militant group that now rules the Gaza Strip, these hostages are viewed as a key bargaining chip to negotiate a truce with Israel and seek the release of Palestinian prisoners held in Israeli jails. So who are these hostages being held and hopefully still alive down in caves, hopefully getting food and water? 52 men, 10 women, 2 children. So of those original 251 hostages seized by militants 1 year ago today, 117 have been freed, most of them women, children, as well as foreign workers. Most released during a week-long truce that happened, remember, in late November. And that was in exchange for 240 Palestinian prisoners held in Israeli jails. Nearly a year later, Israel believes still a year later that 64 hostages are still held in Gaza alive. And the army has confirmed 70 others are dead, 33 of those bodies still in Gaza. And so even within the past 24, 36, 48 hours, I could take you through it as far as Israel defending itself. But when you think about the two children, they are the youngest hostages. Well, the youngest, Kafir, was just 8.5 months old when he was kidnapped. And the other, his brother, Ariel, who was only 4 years old when he was taken to Gaza. So Hamas has since claimed that the two children are dead. Israel has not confirmed that, in part because there were some videos released of, you know, children who appeared to be, you know, the children appeared to be a few months older or many months older, and they were being taught different culture, a different language, and that gives their family members, their loved ones, hope. As far as our vigils, the rallies taking place as I speak across our region and across the nation, yes, there are pleas for peace. But when you think about how this is being reported, and I always talk about the media being complicit, even locally and nationally, and in the Philadelphia Inquirer, they talk about both sides. And they talk about advocates for Palestine, advocates for Israel. I don't see it as being reported as such. The way I personally see it, as victims of terrorists, victims who 1 year ago, there was a religious festival going on, a celebration. The music was loud. And this morning, you know, those pictures, and this happened yesterday, being transposed as looking at the 1,200 killed that day. And yes, of the hostages killed, those still believed to be alive. But this was a terrorist attack. These people were innocent people. And many of them, we saw it. We've lived this. But for their family members, for the community, for their loved ones holding out hope, the way I see that this is a terrorist attack, hostages still being held. Yes, I certainly acknowledge that mainly children, and there are reported tens of thousands of those, Palestinians, if you would, that's what they're calling them in Gaza, those individuals, mainly children by the thousands, if not tens of thousands. But I see them as also victims of mostly children who were basically used as human shields, sacrificed by the terrorists. Okay. That's how I would report it. That's how I see it. That those children, especially killed in Gaza, you may say they're pro-Hamas. Well, they were too young to vote. And certainly there hasn't been a vote in, what, 20 years. And even if they are children and their parents support this, they did not deserve to be held as human shields to die in this conflict. As I speak, just within the past 24 hours, we've seen more action, Israel defending itself. And yes, now we see this happening with Hezbollah, another terrorist group in Lebanon, and more human shields, more death. And even I reported this to you last week, we see American military bases, they're being fired upon as we are drawn as Americans and our military drawn into this conflict. So I want to take you to Butler, Pennsylvania, and we'll get into the Trump rally, Trump speaking, Elon Musk. What an incredible day and a beautiful tribute to the one man who was killed by an assassin's bullet, a bullet intended for Trump that, yes, injured Trump and shot him, but the bullet that struck, obviously, our hero, Fire Chief Corey Comparator, a beautiful tribute. I'll get to that. But I want to get to the young man who spoke, who said that, yes, he was a Democrat and has been traditionally. He's a Jewish young man who spoke at the Trump rally strongly talking about this and saying why he will vote for Donald J. Trump, why Kamala Harris, the vice president, will not get his vote. And it's really on this issue as he, first and foremost, he talks about how shocked, well, one of the greatest presidents, the first one, would be if he could see what's happening on our college campuses, including here in Pennsylvania.
In 1790, President George Washington addressed the Jewish community in Newport, Rhode Island. And he told them that here in the United States, bigotry would be given no sanction and persecution no assistance. Since arriving in 1654, we Jewish Americans have fought and died for this country. We have participated in all areas of civic life, and we have pursued life, liberty, and happiness. We Jewish Americans are not guests in this country. We Jewish Americans are part of this country. How shocked, how disgusted would President Washington be today to know that in the 21st century, Jewish Americans are being physically assaulted on their college campuses, are being denied access to their education because of their religious identity. And get this. When 45 Americans were butchered, when 7-8 Americans were taken hostage by Hamas terrorists on October 7th, our academic, intellectual elites, our young liberal classmates, not only did they not condemn the atrocity, they praised it.
And so he goes on today and or went on over the weekend. This was Saturday in Butler, Pennsylvania, at the big Trump rally, the return to the scene of the crime, if you will, the return to the scene where an assassin hoped to take the life of former President Donald J. Trump. But this is Shabazz Kestenbaum speaking as the crowd that was cheering him on as he confesses that he has long been a Democrat, but now listen to what he says.
What is so great about this country is we can disagree. So hold your booze, but I have something embarrassing to admit. I'm a Democrat. No, nobody's perfect. Nobody's perfect. I have good news. I have good news. For the last 10 months, I have tried pressuring my party to take the issues of anti-Semitism seriously. Biden and Harris have refused to meet with any of us Jewish students as we try to fight for our civil rights on college campuses. The Senate Democrats have refused to hold hearings on anti-Semitism. Instead, all lives mattering the issue, talking about all forms of hate. And of the close to 100 members of Congress who left Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's speech as he fights for the survival of the Jewish state, all but one were Democrats. My fellow Jewish Americans, I'm speaking to you. We are politically homeless. Elections are binary choices. And this election, I have good news. I am going to vote for the president who told us that he will not allow one penny of the American taxpayer money to fund anti-Semitic, un-American universities like Harvard, like Columbia, like MIT.
I want to remind you of my interview last week as well with Pennsylvania Treasurer Stacey Garrity. She's not named in the Philadelphia Inquirer that I saw, I think it was yesterday or today, as they were talking about the fact that some of these pro-Palestinian groups here in our area are calling for and denouncing the state treasurer, Garrity. They're calling for her to not do any investments, right, in Israel. And she, you heard her talking about that, saying that this is a critical issue to her and that she would never do that. But that's one of the pushes that they're talking about. And isn't it interesting that that's not being profiled? That's not getting a high profile. Why? Because she's a Republican up for re-election. And so these pro-Palestinian groups are ripping into her, saying, don't vote for her. She's a Republican. Well, one of the reasons that Jewish Pennsylvanians are being urged to vote for her is to say, this is somebody who is standing strong with Jews, standing strong with Israel, and will not be bullied or influenced by these different groups. And speaking of that, let's listen to, this is Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. Now, I know he's speaking out about that little Macron, that little creepazoid with his older wife who was like a teacher, whatever. I won't get into it. But this is Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, whose nickname is BB, obviously. But he's speaking about this and just describing what he's up against.
Today, Israel is defending itself on seven fronts against the enemies of civilization. We're fighting in Gaza against Hamas, those savages who murdered, raped, beheaded, and burned our people on October 7th. We're fighting in Lebanon against Hezbollah, the most heavily armed terror organization in the world, which was planning an even greater massacre than October 7th on our northern border, and that has rocketed Israeli towns and cities for nearly a year. We're fighting against the Houthis in Yemen and the Shiite militias in Iraq and Syria that together have launched hundreds of drones and missile attacks against Israel. We're fighting against terrorists in Judea and Samaria who are trying to murder civilians in the heart of our cities. And we're fighting against Iran, which last week fired over 200 ballistic missiles directly at Israel, and which stands behind the seven-front war against Israel. As Israel fights the forces of barbarism led by Iran, all civilized countries should be standing firmly by Israel's side. Yet President Macron and some other Western leaders are now calling for an arms embargo against Israel. Shame on them. Is Iran imposing an arms embargo on Hezbollah, on the Houthis, on Hamas, and on its other proxies? Of course not. The axis of terror stands together. But countries who supposedly oppose this terror axis call for an arms embargo on Israel. What a disgrace. Well, let me tell you this. Israel will win with or without their support. But their shame will continue long after the war is won.
Yes, shame. And our friend Jeff Bartos, and thanks, Jeff, for this. He wrote a great piece in Broad and Liberty and reminding us what Netanyahu said back in July when he was visiting here. You know, when basically the vice president of the United States kind of blew him off because, you know, she had to meet with some of her sorority sisters. Biden met with him later in the week, but it was shameful. And remember who said, yes, please come to my house. So Netanyahu was invited and the red carpet rolled out for Netanyahu at Mar-a-Lago as well as his family. But remember what he said, and thank you, Jeff, for this. Our enemies are your enemies. Our fight is your fight and our victory will be your victory. It's critical. You know, I could go on and on about this and how upset I am about the way the media is reporting on this. I do want to share with you what Ronald Reagan had done and what he had said. And this is back in the 80s. and how he teed up a policy that, by the way, back then in the mid-80s was bashed by Joe Biden. And this is something that former President Donald J. Trump, I believe, in so many ways, think of Make America Great Again. Think of the influence of Reagan on Trump. And that's what I believe, that you see a direct link between the two of them. So I want to link that all up. And the victory recently for Israel, the reason they're not wiped off the mat, is actually because of Republican policies and something that Reagan did that Trump wants to carry on that torch. So I'll talk about that moving forward and as well get your take. Are we talking about Italy here? Oh, I heard
no,
a little
no,
music.
No, this is some French music for Mr. Macron, President Macron.
Oh, yeah. What a creepazoid. But I want to get to that because I think it's important to say that this is, if you look at Trump's policies, and not what he used to tweet out, now X out, right? But if you look at the policies that he embraces, whether it's on Israel, whether it's on our economy, whether it's on energy, whether it's on abortion, I can go through all of these. And like I say, the very slogan that I played for you with Reagan was the one who said, make America great again. In many ways, Trump has vowed to carry on the policies that were and have been very popular because they were the policies of Ronald Reagan. It was just a beautiful day, wasn't it? As Donald J. Trump, as we can celebrate that he survived, but also commemorate the life of a hero who acted as a human shield and shield his wife and his two daughters. They were theirs, widow Helen. And I know that GoFundMe continues as they want to support him. So we'll get
to... And of course, there's one more hero who could not make it back here tonight because he is no longer with us. Right? You know who that is, right? Corey, our beautiful Corey.
And so it's 6:11, which was obviously the same time, last time we were in Butler on J13th, and it was 6:11 p.m. So they held the moment of silence, Ave Maria. It was just an incredibly emotional moment, a lot of love and a lot of tears. I want to bring you full circle here and just think about Ronald Reagan. Take you back to 1983. I'd seen that the Ronald Reagan Presidential Foundation and Institute, they had posted on social media when Israel was able to, defend herself against this evil in the world, these terrorists who otherwise would have wiped Israel off the map. And we saw that with, my goodness, Iran. Can you imagine Iran launching these missiles and having the audacity to do that in a Trump administration? Never. And so the Ronald Reagan Presidential Foundation and Institute had reminded all of us, thank God for the Iron Dome, saying we witnessed another reminder of the importance of missile defense as Israel's Iron Dome successfully intercepted hundreds of Iranian missiles. President Reagan's Strategic Defense Initiative, SDI, really laid the foundation for systems like these. When he announced SDI in 1983...
It's an unfortunate name, though.
SDI, yes. But President Reagan envisioning a world where we could intercept and destroy strategic ballistic missiles before they reached our own soil or that of our allies, just as the Iron Dome did today. This is Ronald Reagan back in 1983.
America does possess now the technologies to attain very significant improvements in the effectiveness of our conventional non-nuclear forces. Proceeding boldly with these new technologies, we can significantly reduce any incentive that the Soviet Union may have to threaten attack against the United States or its allies. As we pursue our goal of defensive technologies, we recognize that our allies rely upon our strategic offensive power to deter attacks against them. Their vital interests and ours are inextricably linked. Their safety and ours are one. And no change in technology can or will alter that reality. We must and shall continue to honor our commitments. I clearly recognize that defensive systems have limitations and raise certain problems and ambiguities. If paired with offensive systems, they can be viewed as fostering an aggressive policy, and no one wants that. But with these considerations firmly in mind, I call upon the scientific community in our country, those who gave us nuclear weapons, to turn their great talents now to the cause of mankind and world peace, to give us the means of rendering these nuclear weapons impotent and obsolete. Tonight, consistent with our obligations under the ABM Treaty and recognizing the need for closer consultation with our allies, I'm taking an important first step. I am directing a comprehensive and intensive effort to define a long-term research and development program to begin to achieve our ultimate goal of eliminating the threat posed by strategic nuclear missiles.
So think about that, Ronald Reagan. This is 1983. And I'll point you to, just to give full attribution here, the Wall Street Journal had an incredible opinion piece entitled, Joe Biden Was Wrong, Star Wars Saved Israel. And remember the Star Wars, just the fact that Reagan knew how to mess with the Soviets' mind and bring down the wall, all of that. This was and is a winning philosophy launched by one Ronald Reagan, one that, in fact, former President Trump has carried on with. Remember Space Force, and they all want to make fun of Space Force, or they did until now. And we now see that this is all brilliant. This was all the brainchild of one Ronald Reagan. So listen to Joe Biden, who is always wrong and always horrible about foreign policy. This is Joe Biden in 1986 referring to and responding to Reagan wanting these silly systems, these defense systems. Here's Joe Biden, 1986.
This brings us to the administration's fifth myth, and surely the most remarkable in my opinion. Unable or unwilling to build on arms control progress of his predecessors, and under mounting public pressure as a result, the president in 1983 performed an astounding political act. Like the Baryshnikov of nuclear politics, he simply pirouetted and leaped over the entire issue, announcing a presidential vision that the American people could escape nuclear danger, not by arms control, but by erecting an anti-nuclear astrodome over the United States of America. This immaculately conceived notion has obviously demonstrated that it has a certain mystical appeal. Unfortunately, it has no possibility of practicable implementation, as asserted by an overwhelming body of scientific opinion, by common sense,
really?
And even reportedly by Assistant Secretary Pearl in his private conversations with our allies.
Yeah, well, another certain secretary, former defense secretary, and this is Robert Gates, remember that he had said that he thinks Joe Biden hasn't stopped being wrong for 40 years. Remember that famous quote, and then he reiterated it. And this is somebody who is a defense secretary under multiple different administrations, whether they're Democrats or Republicans, saying, I think he has been wrong on nearly every major foreign policy and national security issue over the past four decades. That's Defense Secretary Robert Gates. Boom. It's a mic drop moment. And he's doubled down on that because remember, he had the book, another new book that had come out while Biden was president. And he was asked, well, now that Biden's president, and you can look back, would you change your opinion? No, he said. He hasn't stopped being wrong for 40 years. There you have it. And so here is Israel now utilizing that technology that he's calling mystical. And who has said that we should look into that for our protection in America and that we should explore these great new frontiers? Donald J. Trump has vowed that kind of exploration. It's important. It's for our security. And it's certainly saved Israel, no doubt in my mind. Your thoughts, 855-839-1210, the number to call. We have a great guest coming around the corner. And speaking of coming, I will get you to your calls, 855-839-1210. But speaking of thinking about around the corner, what about a great family trip or a road trip, maybe to see the fall colors as the leaves change?
Segways, you know that?
What's that?
I said you're the queen of segways. Thinking about around the corner, you know?
Because you got to think about planning ahead for the road trip. and seeing Pennsylvania is one of the most beautiful places in the nation for our fall leaves changing. It's a great time of year. And so you have to ask yourself, is your vehicle fully ready to go place to place? That brings me to my friends at Piazza Premium Automobiles. They're going to help make sure that you and your family are safe out on the roads. These service centers are the Piazza Premium Automobiles. They not only handle all your regular maintenance needs, but they're going to diagnose any possible issues before they can happen. Just schedule a service appointment online today. PiazzaPremiumAutomobiles.com, P-I-A-Z-Z-A, PiazzaPremiumAutomobiles.com for the dealer nearest you. Tell them Dawn sent you. The Weitzman, closer to Independence Hall, they're right at 5th and Market. So they're hosting this week-long exhibit that's displaying many artifacts from the actual Nova Music Festival, including burned out cars, bullet riddled bathroom stalls, personal belongings from some of the victims. And as well, the exhibit, by the way, arranged with the help of Governor Josh Shapiro, who is a Jewish American. It's 10 to 7:30 p.m. today. That's at the Weitzman National Museum as we commemorate this day of October 7th. And remember that they were playing music and they were holding commemorations at the hours of the terrorist attack 1 year ago. That was in Israel. We had talked about that, but just wanted to remind you of that. So speaking of, I know they're going to have extra security around the Weitzman, around many synagogues, for example, and even some Jewish schools. Unfortunately, we have to have beefed up security because of these threats, the level of anti-Semitism. That really brings in our next guest, who needs no introduction. And this is Sergeant Betsy Brantner-Smith, who you know well, who's with the National Police Association now, but somebody who certainly has served in law enforcement at the local level, the state level, regional level, national level, now speaking for the National Police Association. So, Betsy, good morning. I know that you wanted to talk about, even at the federal level, FBI, thinking about security being beefed up. Unfortunately, they have to do this around our synagogues and these sites where people are commemorating the terrorist attack a year ago.
Well, it is so unfortunate, Dawn, on this, you know, very sacred day, and I love what you guys are doing there, that we have to think about this, you know, on a local level, but also on a state and federal level. The FBI and DHS issued a joint statement talking about how October 7th could be a motivator for violent extremists, whether it's a lone wolf operator who decides, you know, they want to make a name for themselves, or it's one of the who knows how many terrorists who are in this country, unfortunately, because of our open southern border, who are going to want to make a move on today. We also have to think about the college protests that, of course, are happening in California, New York, Washington, D.C., that started on Saturday. So at a time when we're a month away from a huge election, we already have so much crime occurring in this country. Now, largely local and state law enforcement are being burdened with additional big concerns when it comes to October 7th. But we want people to feel safe, and we want people to be able to grieve and remember. I'm not sure a lot of people remember that 1,200 citizens of Israel were murdered in the most heinous way possible. And we need to remember and reflect.
Absolutely. And so it's a good point you make, because we're still down in numbers here in Philadelphia and across the country after the defund the police movement, trying to do those recruitments. But it just puts that burden, you know, on individuals. And even I will say, I was looking at Temple University. They have many different events, and they're, as a university, they're trying to work with Jewish students and pro-Israeli students to commemorate, you know, the murder of the 1,200, but as well pray for the hostages currently, that they will come home. At the same point, Temple will, at different times, obviously, but there will be at Temple's campus and Drexel University's campus. I know that the Philly-Palestine Coalition, those, they call themselves pro-Palestine, but they're viewed by many as anti-Israel, anti-Jewish. Are they inviting trouble And especially when we think about the numbers of that were down in the police forces, not just in, let's say, Philadelphia police, but as well at, for the university police.
Well, you know, American law enforcement reveres the First Amendment. And so, you know, we all took that oath. And so we want people to be able to express themselves in whatever way that is legal and constitutional about this issue. Unfortunately, the anti-Semitism that we have seen since October 7, 2023, especially on college campuses, has been extraordinary. And we want Jewish students to be able to move freely about campus, to be able to grieve, to be able to remember, and to be able to go about their lives, get to their dorms. That was one of the biggest problems we saw on many universities around this country. And we didn't necessarily, not law enforcement, but leadership didn't exactly do a good job on some campuses of keeping Jewish students safe. So that's something that we're going to want to do today. We're going to want to see today. But you're absolutely right. When you see some of the fervor by people who believe they're pro-Palestinian, and again, and I know you've probably done this too, when you go up and talk to some of these young people, they don't really understand what they're protesting, what they're supporting. They really are poorly informed. And but there are lone wolf actors out there and small groups of people who are in this country who want to disrupt. And this is a great opportunity, unfortunately, for them to be able to disrupt. So all of us, not just law enforcement, but all of us, students and citizens, we all need to be very aware today and throughout the week as the commemoration continues, even as the war continues in the Middle East.
Yeah, it's so true. And then I wanted to ask you about, and this was a story that I had reported earlier this morning during the news and Kale and Company, but this was a story of a 26-year state trooper in New Jersey. So served honorably, had retired, and then went to the Trump rally. This was J6, and then had pleaded guilty, I guess, before a judge in D.C., to a misdemeanor, to a felony misdemeanor, and prosecutors had wanted him to spend nearly a year, 11 months, behind bars in a federal prison. He was never accused of doing anything violent. The charge was that he was found guilty by a D.C. judge. There was not a jury involved. But this was that they said that he was guilty of a federal misdemeanor because he was shouting. I guess he gave the finger as he walked in the Capitol building and was captured on camera, never touched anybody, etc. But in this one, I saw somebody serving 26 years, never an incident, as a New Jersey state trooper. And I thought, I hope that that's why the judge in this D.C. case did not sentence him to any jail time, but gave him probation. And on one hand, I thought, my goodness, why would they even have take this guy, drag him through the courts for 3.9 years? He just on Friday was sentenced to probation, talked about how his family had gone through hell, the financial cost of the attorney. I just wanted to get your reaction to that latest. This is J6, to that latest sentencing of probation by a D.C. judge.
Well, when you look at this case, it's 61-year-old Michael Danielle. And I love how the media describes him. He was in the Capitol when the doors had been opened. He's in the Capitol with everybody else who went in. And here's the quote in the media. He's yelling and flashing a middle finger near police officers. Oh, my goodness. If we could arrest people for giving the finger to local law enforcement, half the country would be in prison, Don.
Yes.
That's his crime. So when you look at this, the J6 fervor when it comes to people, you know, committing alleged federal crimes, I think this was absolutely appropriate to sentence him to probation. I'm telling you, and I wish people would look at some of these. Most of these cases are absolutely insane. These people are truly being persecuted because when you look at the other 260 violent riots that occurred in 2020 and 2021, people did horrific things. People died.
Yes.
You know, no police officers were killed on January 6th, just so everybody knows. Some were hurt, and it was a terrible, terrible time. Yes. But 260 violent riots around the country, and very few meaningful prosecutions except for what happened on January 6th. So I think that this retired state trooper, I think that was a real appropriate sentence for what he did.
And what about, you know, I don't know if we've had a chance to talk about this since the headline hit, and that was, you know, from Border Patrol talking about the fact that how many numbers of convicted killers, wanted terrorists in other countries have crossed the border, these child rapists and all these horrible stories of criminals being, you know, coming across the border, even being intercepted, then let loose again. And then the impact on local law enforcement as we think about that. And then the terrorist threat aspect of it. What's your take on all of this news and the real impact on law enforcement across the board?
Well, of course, you know, we've got, so DHS came out with the numbers as far as ICE, Immigration and Customs Enforcement. They have a huge list. I think it's 7.2 million people on a list that they are trying to deport. They're trying to get their hands on. And of all these people, there's murderers, rapists, burglars. The list goes on and on and on. People either convicted in our country, charged, and some who have been convicted of murder in their own countries and yet end up here in our country. And I think one of the things that was lost in this story was 77,000 of these people have significant traffic offenses that they have been involved in since they've gotten here. Everybody wondering why your car insurance is going up? That's why. So this is the non-detained list, and it's incredibly frustrating. At 56,000 drug convictions, 13,000 convicted of homicide, 2,500 convicted of kidnapping, almost 60,000 sexual assaults. Now, DHS came out with a statement after these statistics were released, because remember, they were released right as Kamala Harris was visiting my home county right here where I sit in southern Arizona. And DHS came out with a statement that said, you're misinterpreting these statistics.
And it's a misinterpretation.
Don't believe your lying eyes, people, about all these. This is the thing. Again, are most people who come across our borders illegally, are they criminals? No. Just like most citizens of the United States are not criminals.
Thank God.
But we have enough criminals that we don't need to keep importing them.
Yes. Amen.
And they're doing a lousy job of deporting them, and that needs to be ramped up.
Betsy Brantner Smith and National Police Association. A lot of great news and headlines, and you always support local law enforcement at the National Police Association. So thank you so much. Once again, my friend, thank you.
Thanks, Dawn, for having me. Everybody go to nationalpolice.org. See the great stuff we're doing. Hit that donate button if you can.
nationalpoliceassociation.org. Sergeant Betsy Brantner Smith. Until next time, thank you so much. You know, you talked about the safety of, you know, taking a trip, thinking about getting away, maybe escaping all of this. I got to tell you, we've got another great trip in the works. It's kind of a developing, it's not a breaking news story because we broke it in Kale and Company earlier, but I'm so excited. And, you know, we had such a great time and we've kept in touch. Actually, you know, some of us have gotten together and will get together maybe in early November. But I'm talking about another visit to paradise, the Italian Riviera. This is a gastronomical event that only conservative tours can deliver. So I want you to join me for 11 luxurious days with the professionals from Conservative Tours. They are hands down the best tour operator in all of Italy. So plus rating, A plus rating with the BBB, with Better Business Bureau. I'm talking about Portofino, Rapallo, Santa Margherita Ligure, Tuscany, and the brilliant Cinque Terre. $53.78. And yes, that includes your airfare, $53.78. Dining events galore at the wineries. Remember last time, the wineries, some of the best memories. This time in Tuscany. Even an authentic farm we're going to visit to see Parmesan cheese being crafted by hand. You call toll-free, 888-733-9494. You can go to conservativetours.com. Hidden Italian villages that you've never seen, like Giacomo Puccini, San Gimignano, the Leaning Tower of Pisa, Florence. I have been to Florence, you know, Michelangelo. Florence is stunning. And Milan. And then we will conclude the trip on the Lakes region. This is such a gorgeous region. Bellagio, Orta, and Isola Bella, Isola Bella. Join me next spring in Italy, conservativetours.com. Last time we sold out so quickly. So I'm telling you, go to conservativetours.com. Make sure you tell them Dawn sent you. And we'll see you in Cinque Terre, Butler, Pennsylvania. An incredible rally. We'll get to Trump. We'll get to Elon Musk. But Pennsylvania's native son, a combat veteran, West Point, went on to certainly achieve high success in the private enterprise business world. Dave McCormick, who's running for Senate, hopes for your vote on the Republican side, hopes to defeat a career politician, if you will, longtime Senator Democrat Bob Casey. McCormick took the stage. Listen in.
It is hard to believe that it was just almost 3 months ago that many of us were here. I was sitting right over here and saw the tragedy play out on that day. The tragedy. And we're here to mourn, really here in sorrow, to mourn the loss of Corey Comparator, but not only mourn his loss, to honor who he was, because he's sort of the best of everything about America. He was a role model for everything that's great about this incredible country.
So I want to get Corey Comparator there, but I also have him talking about the strength that President Trump brings versus the weakness of Biden that I wanted to hit before he joins us, if you don't mind.
Mm-hmm. And the choice could not be more stark. It's the choice between strength of President Trump, the guy you saw on this stage saying, fight, fight, fight. And weakness. Weakness we've seen under President Biden and Vice President Harris. It's a choice between common sense policies to get prices down, get our economy back on track, open up our energy sector, secure our border, bring law and order to our cities, and make sure Americans remain safe from adversaries around the world, because we're strong, peace through strength.
So one more clip we want to get to of McCormick on stage in Butler, Pennsylvania. Great rally on Saturday. If you were there, I want to hear from you if you have any takeaways. But Dave McCormick will be joining us coming up in just minutes. So here is McCormick talking about being strong, especially when it comes to strong policies on our economy.
So we need to turn into this election and recognize that we're facing a crossroads. And if we take our country in the right direction, if all of you do what you need to do on November 5th, if you get out your friends, if you get out the vote, we need an army of people going out to save our country.
So I meant to say getting out the vote. Obviously, you talked about the economy first, but you get the point. Wanted to, just so you had a flavor of some of his speech and want to ask him around the corner about the recent debate. The first debate, there's another one upcoming mid-October against his opponent. And your take as well. Maybe you have a question. So we'll welcome in Dave McCormick just ahead. I think one of the takeaways I have, you can tell why it's important to stump, to be on the campaign trail talking to people, because it's like lifting weights. You can tell that he's just getting more and more comfortable. It's not easy to talk in front of 80 or 100,000 people, how many at these rallies and these different events. So that's one of my takeaways. I just see him getting more and more comfortable. But is he breaking through as mail-in voting obviously is happening right now? So we'll get to hear from Dave McCormick and some things maybe you haven't heard about the rally on Saturday, some of the behind the scenes.
Don Stensland from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.